This Morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
The nightmare worsens. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Friday, May 27th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Investigators now say the man who carried out the school massacre in Texas was outside the building firing shots for 12 minutes before entering.
On Capitol Hill, Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell is signaling that Republicans are willing to discuss gun measures.
Following a period of extreme volatility for stocks, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has now recorded gains for 5 days in a row.
And a worst-case scenario guide to summer travel.
In the U.S., domestic travel is already back to pre-pandemic levels and has surpassed it in many cases. So for people that haven't traveled in a while, they may be surprised to see how busy airports are.
Dawn Gilbertson at the Wall Street Journal on tricks of the trade when travel goes sideways. Authorities have released a new timeline that indicates the Texas school shooter lingered outside Robb Elementary in Uvalde for 12 minutes firing shots before he entered the building unobstructed. Victor Escalon with the Texas Department of Public Safety couldn't say why no one stopped 18-year-old Salvador Ramos from entering the school during that time Tuesday.
It was reported that a school district police officer confronted the suspect that was making entry. Not accurate. He walked in unobstructed initially.
Parents say they were pleading with police to enter the school. The shooter went on to kill 19 children and two teachers. An hour later, a Border Patrol team entered and was able to get into the classroom where he was barricaded and killed the gunman. And as if it couldn't get worse, the husband of a teacher slain in the massacre suffered a fatal heart attack yesterday. Joe Garcia was the husband of Irma Garcia, one of the two teachers murdered. Joe and Irma, who were high school sweethearts and married 24 years, leave behind four children. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell says he wants GOP lawmakers to work with Democrats on a legislative solution to address the elementary school shooting in Texas. Mr. McConnell told CNN he met with Texas Senator John Cornyn and encouraged him to engage with key Democratic senators. Asked if he thought the potential areas of compromise would include red flag laws, background checks, or mental health issues, Mr. McConnell said he's asked Mr. Cornyn to meet with the Democrats interested in getting a bipartisan solution to meet this particular problem. Here's Senator Cornyn.
I'm not interested in the same old tired talking points. I'm actually interested in what we can do to make the terrible events that occurred in Uvalde less likely in the future.
Red flag laws generally permit police or family members to seek a court order to temporarily confiscate firearms from a person who may present a danger to others or themselves. Any bipartisan compromise could mark a substantial victory for gun control advocates. The National Rifle Association begins hosting its annual gathering today in Houston, 280 miles from Uvalde, the scene of the country's worst school shooting in a decade. The gun lobby gathering takes place in the shadows of two recent gun-driven massacres. A man armed with a semi-automatic rifle shot and killed 10 people at a supermarket in Buffalo, New York earlier this month. Houston Police Chief Troy Finner.
We will respect everybody's right to protest and speak their concerns in their voice.
Meanwhile, the company that manufactured the rifle used in Tuesday's school shooting will not appear at the NRA meeting. Daniel Defense says it's not the appropriate time after one of its products, quote, was criminally used. Texas Governor Greg Abbott will skip it as well, choosing instead to revisit Uvalde. Also, at least four musicians set to perform at the convention have backed out, including Larry Gatlin. He says he's a Second Amendment guy, but things expanded background checks are needed. it's the perfect season for a powerful business upgrade with Dell Technologies Summer Sale Event. Save up to 45% on secure PCs built for business with Windows 10 Pro. You'll also find great savings on Dell servers, monitors, docks, and other accessories to help boost productivity. Plus, enjoy free shipping on everything. Take the lead with Windows 10 Pro devices. Call 877-ASK-DELL for a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL for business specials during Dell's Summer Sale Event.
Edgy, smart, bringing you what you need to know. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average has now recorded five straight days of gains. Yesterday's boost came in part from strong results from retailers like Macy's, Dollar General, and Dollar Tree. Meanwhile, President Biden obviously has his hands full trying to explain high inflation to voters. Now he's got a fresh problem, and that's criticism from within his own party that Mr. Biden may actually be contributing to inflation. Plus, claims by the president and others in his party of price gouging just don't add up. Here's Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. Rick, explain this.
Oh, Biden's having all kinds of trouble with inflation. Inflation's now 8.3%. This is really bumming out voters. And now the Harvard economist Larry Summers, who predicted this inflation that we have now more than a year ago, is now saying the Biden administration may be doing something else to make inflation worse, which is going after big companies and trying to break them up. So there have been some speeches lately by the head of the antitrust department at the Justice Department, and also the new commissioner of the Federal Trade Commission has indicated she's interested in breaking up some big companies. And Larry Summers kind of blew up as if he couldn't stand it anymore in an interview with Bloomberg, and then on Twitter, he said, this just makes no sense because basically a lot of these big companies are very efficient. And if you have evidence that they have monopoly power and that they are price gouging, that's one thing. But he said in many cases, they're not price gouging. And in fact, big companies are more efficient and they actually are able to offer lower prices. So he said this is not the right idea to just say you want to break up companies just because they're big. If there's evidence of price gouging and evidence of a monopoly, that's a different thing. But don't go after them just because they're big. And we do know that we've heard a lot of Democrats talk about this. They think Amazon is too big. They think Google is too big. They think Facebook is too big. And all this talk about breaking them up just because they're big. But this important Harvard economist, Larry Summers, says not the right approach.
Okay. And you sort of dove into some of these issues, too, to kind of figure out if there's evidence of price gouging. And you couldn't find it. Like take gas, for example.
I looked at different products two different ways, and I've been tracking inflation in all different sectors of the economy to figure out where it's worse and where it's not so bad. Gasoline prices are up, definitely up 44% during the last 12 months. So we know they're up, but there's no reason to think that this is because U.S. companies are price gouging. The reason gas prices are up is because oil prices are up everywhere in the world. This is not unique to the United States. And if you wanted to make an argument about price gouging, I think you would maybe if you looked at the Saudi government or the government of the United Arab Emirates, you could say that they're price gouging because those governments actually have the power to increase more oil and they're choosing not to. Here in the United States, the government doesn't decide how much oil to produce and we just have to accept the global price of oil. We can't change that. But meat, this is another one. Biden has singled out as an area where maybe there aren't enough producers and in a small number of big producers are able to price gouge. Well, meat prices are up 14% year over year. But when you look over 5 years, the increase is less than 6% per year. So you look at that 6% per year, that's higher than average inflation. But that doesn't really sound like price gouging. I mean, price gouging is when you see prices that are up 20, 30, 40, 50% per year because somebody has monopoly power. So that just doesn't seem like it's a monopoly problem.
Yeah. We're speaking with Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. He's written a piece called Biden's Latest Inflation Battle. How about a little walk through internet service here?
This is one that probably gets the most attention from Democrats, but Google is one of the ones that they're kind of going after. How much does it cost to use Google? I mean, I ask everybody to think that over. When I use it, I don't pay anything. So how can you say they're price gouging? You can say they might be harming consumers in other ways, such as the types of advertising they get. They might be harming other businesses because Google does have close to a monopoly on advertising. So that might be the case to make, but you cannot make the case that Google's too big because it's harming consumers, at least on price. And as for social media, Facebook also free, and the cost of internet services, getting connected to the internet, has barely gone up over the last 5 or 10 years. And the same goes for technology devices, which generally have come down in price. So not much price gouging there. You can be unhappy with those companies for other reasons. Hate them if you want.
Yeah.
I'm just saying price is not the reason to hate them.
Thanks, Rick. Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. 19 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
After 2 days of providing often conflicting information, investigators say a school district police officer was not inside the school when the 18-year-old shooter arrived in Uvalde, and contrary to their previous reports, an officer had not confronted him outside the building. Instead, they sketched out a timeline notable for unexplained delays by law enforcement. U.S. Border Patrol Chief Raul Ortiz.
They put together a plan of action. They knew that there was somebody inside the school in one of the classrooms, and they took action.
Witnesses say frustrated onlookers urged police officers to charge into the school, and it took them too long to do so.
Number two.
Students in at least 34 states participated in demonstrations yesterday in response to Tuesday's massacre. The walkouts were coordinated by Students Demand Action, a youth-led organization that advocates for stronger gun control. The organization says the walkout was a response to the continued lack of action from lawmakers to prevent future mass shootings.
Number three.
Senate Republicans on Thursday blocked a domestic terrorism bill that the House passed earlier this month in response to the mass shooting in Buffalo. The legislation would create 3 offices in the FBI as well as in the Departments of Justice and Homeland Security to track and examine cases of potential domestic terrorism. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said Russian President Vladimir Putin has failed to accomplish his goals in Ukraine. During a speech at George Washington University, Blinken said instead of erasing Ukraine's independence, Putin strengthened it, and instead of dividing NATO, he has united it. The speech largely focused on U.S. policy toward China. The Justice Department says 2 former FBI agents accused of mishandling sexual abuse allegations against convicted sex abuser and former USA Gymnastics team doctor Larry Nassar will not face criminal prosecution. A DOJ report released last summer found the FBI made fundamental errors in the probe and did not treat the case with the utmost seriousness after USA Gymnastics first reported the allegations in 2015. Can Top Gun Maverick bring some Generation Xers and baby boomers back to the movie theater? Hollywood and theater chains are very optimistic. Pre-pandemic, the film was expected to become a major blockbuster in the summer of 2020. Models now predict the Tom Cruise film could bring in $100 million this holiday weekend. It's expected to draw strong walk-up business among casual moviegoers, and reviews have been excellent.
Yeah, I have seen that. Very good. All right, thank you, Jen. Coming up next, having a plan B for your summer travel plans. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending time with us. Getting around this summer will require flexibility, patience, and a solid plan B. if you're going on vacation. Dawn Gilbertson, new travel columnist at the Wall Street Journal, has put together a playbook for your worst-case scenarios. Dawn, help us out.
If you listen to airline executives and car rental companies, you know, they're expecting record demand in many cases this summer. In the U.S., domestic travel is already back to pre-pandemic levels and has surpassed it in many cases. So for people that haven't traveled in a while, they may be surprised to see how busy airports are.
One of the things you said to do if you get crossed up or in a jam at the airport is to, quote, try everything. What does that mean? What would that entail?
Well, I think, you know, sometimes the inclination is, you know, your flight's canceled, you're freaking out, and you run to the, if you're at the airport, you run to the service desk, or if you're at home, maybe you hop on the phone. There are, you know, today there are so many other options. So number one, look at all the other options. Number two, do them all at the same time. So you just basically have to be a multitasker.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there are long waits. Airlines, you know, have been short-staffed. They say they're staffing up and getting a handle on it. But, you know, I've seen as recently as this week, you know, waits well over an hour. So just check out all your options.
You made a good point. You know, while you're standing there steaming in the customer service line, you could be on social media, right? Tweeting at the airline saying, help us out.
Well, really, tweeting. And one of my best tips and it's not particularly novel, but a lot of people don't think of this, especially at the airport and they are stressed out, is direct message the airline on Twitter. Most major airlines do allow this. Delta switched away from it, but to a text thing. But I have found, you know, a lot of people get the quickest help that way.
Yeah, I found the same. We're speaking with Dawn Gilbertson, travel columnist at the Wall Street Journal. Her story is called The Worst Case Scenario Guide to Summer Travel. Also, you mentioned as part of that airlines have introduced new help for stranded customers. What is that about?
Yeah, well, so for instance, I was in Newark a week ago, and they have something called Agent on Demand. It's not brand new, but a lot of people won't have encountered it because of the pandemic. And basically, you know, say you're in the gate area, and they have it other places too, but you're in the gate area and you see a sign and has a QR code on it. So you put your phone up to the QR code and basically you can video chat with someone that's in another city, you know, that maybe is not as busy as that particular airport.
Oh,
there.
Wow.
So kind of they're spreading out the workload to reduce wait times.
Wow. Impressive. But hopefully it works. You reference to lobby shock. What's lobby shock?
Well, we've all had it, right? It doesn't matter what time of day. You walk into the airport and you think, okay, I'm set. I've arrived early. And you walk in and there's lines, you know, stretching, you know, down the concourse. There's lines sometimes out the door. You know, travelers in Austin, Texas have had a rough go of it this year so far, you know, with lines out the door and people were abandoning rental cars. So it's just that first sign of, oh my gosh, look at all these people. I'm never going to make my flight. So you need to kind of go in, take a deep breath and figure out what your best plan is in terms of which line, which security checkpoint. You know, there's also some new security checkpoint options too for people that they need to be aware of.
Like what?
Well, in some airports, including Phoenix, Los Angeles, Newark, not in all terminals at all times, but you can reserve a spot in the TSA line and you don't need, you know, those fast passes like TSA PreCheck or Clear.
Thanks, Dawn. Dawn Gilbertson, the new travel columnist at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Find the headlines. Above the noise, you're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday, May 27. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. A new timeline says the Texas school shooter was outside the building for 12 minutes firing shots before entering. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell indicates a willingness to discuss gun measures. The FDA chief says the nationwide shortage of baby formula will likely continue through July. Actor Ray Liotta has died in his sleep at 67. He was in the Dominican working on a movie. Warriors advanced to the NBA Finals for the sixth time in 8 years. And how a surfer helps families to honor loved ones. That story in about 20 minutes. A new wave of abortion restrictions is expected in half of the U.S. if the Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade. But that doesn't mean abortions won't be performed. Laura Casisto, reporter at the Wall Street Journal, says some local officials are pledging not to enforce the new restrictions, potentially creating uneven legal landscapes within conservative states that are home to more liberal urban areas. Laura, what are we seeing?
It's a really interesting state of affairs. I think we all imagine, or certainly I've been speaking about, what this post-Roe world might look like, where about half of states are poised to ban abortion. And that's a very simple story. But if you dig beneath it, the story is not that simple. In a lot of these conservative states, in a lot of states that are poised to ban abortion, you have a smattering of liberal prosecutors, especially in big city areas. And those prosecutors are saying, I'm just not going to throw anyone in jail for something related to an abortion. I'm not going to enforce these abortion restrictions. And so that kind of promises to create something of a patchwork situation where you could have a state like Texas where abortion will be illegal in large parts of the state, but tacitly permitted in many of the state's largest cities.
Wow. Where else could that happen?
Louisiana is another, Georgia is another, potentially Michigan, a number of states. I mean, really, I would say many of the conservative states in the country, I think you could end up with this dynamic if you have some prosecutors in those states who are on the more liberal side who don't believe in abortion bans.
And prosecutors have that latitude?
Well, I mean, I think this will be the battleground. So, yes, prosecutors do have the ability to make the decision not to prosecute certain types of cases. We're probably all familiar with this in the instance of, say, marijuana, where, you know, small amounts of marijuana possession, you know, often are not prosecuted. Another example that you may be less aware of is that adultery is illegal in many states around the country. And prosecutors obviously sort of make the decision all the time, I'm not going to throw anyone in jail for adultery. But what I do think you're going to see is this become very controversial in some places, and in particular, set up a fight between Republican governors or attorney generals, or you know, certainly Republican, or you know, in the case of Louisiana, you have a Democratic governor who does not believe in abortion, and so I think you're going to see a fight between those officials and local officials who are saying that they won't enforce these bans.
Wow, we're speaking with Laura Casisto, national legal affairs reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her story is called "With State Abortion Restrictions Looming, Some Officials Promise Not to Enforce Them." So you referenced Texas before. It's up to citizens to bring these lawsuits, right? But they still rely on prosecutors? Is that how it works?
No. To clarify, currently, yes, in Texas, it's up to citizens. But if Roe v. Wade does fall, then in that instance, it will also be a crime in Texas to perform an abortion. And that's where you would see prosecutors have a role.
Yeah. Got it. So you referenced Louisiana. Like, explain the specifics there with the folks you talked to.
Sure. So Louisiana is a state where if Roe v. Wade were to fall, if there were no longer to be federal constitutional protections for abortion, which is something we're all guessing might happen based on a leaked Supreme Court opinion, but, you know, is not yet final. But if that were to happen in the next couple of months, Louisiana has a law on the books that would go into effect that would make it a crime punishable by up to 10 years in prison to provide an abortion. The question would be, though, the prosecutor in Orleans Parish, for example, a Democrat, has said, I'm just not going to enforce that. I'm just not going to prosecute anyone, a doctor, a woman, anyone who assists a woman in obtaining abortion. I'm not going to pursue a prosecution for that. So that maybe is just that simple, that it would not be a crime, or it would not, you know, functionally be a crime to perform an abortion in in New Orleans. But then the kind of final wrinkle to that is that you do, as I sort of mentioned, you have a governor who is anti-abortion. You have a Republican legislature. And so they might be able to take certain actions to have state officials usurp the authority of that local prosecutor. And then that's where I think you're going to see some interesting fireworks potentially in the coming months.
Thanks, Laura. Laura Casisto, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. It's the perfect season for a powerful business upgrade with Dell Technologies Summer Sale Event. Save up to 45% on secure PCs built for business with Windows 10 Pro. You'll also find great savings on Dell servers, monitors, docks, and other accessories to help boost productivity. Plus, enjoy free shipping on everything. Take the lead with Windows 10 Pro devices. Call 877-ASK-DELL for a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL for business specials during Dell's Summer Sale Event.
Glad you could be with us. Welcome into Friday. If people can find out when their pizza is out for delivery, they should be able to see when a flag from their member of Congress is headed their way, too. That's what a congressional staffer wants to figure out. It's a story by Chris Chaffee, Congress reporter at CQ Roll Call. Chris, what's this about?
Congress has this program where you can request a flag that's flown over the Capitol from your senator or from your congressman, and about 100,000 flags flow through this program every year. And of course, when you request a flag, you know, sometimes you're requesting it for a special event that has a date. And so sometimes constituents call aides or staffers at the Capitol. Typically, they're junior staffers and they, you know, wonder where their flag is. And so the way the system works now, it's kind of this like process where there's several offices involved and there's not a lot of information for staffers right at their fingertips. So they end up having to run around calling these different offices to kind of try and get more information about where this constituent's flag is. And so these staffers who are members of the Modernization Staff Association kind of saw themselves spending a lot of time on several of these issues that junior staffers are responsible for. So it's tracking flags, it's making room reservations, it's making tour reservations. And so what these staffers did was, you know, they, after they formed the Staffer Association, they approached both the Senate Sergeant at Arms and the Chief Administrative Officer over in the House and basically said, you know, hey, we know that there's a different process in both the House and the Senate to request and then receive a flag. Is there a way we can make it easier not only for you guys, but for staffers as well? So yeah, when someone calls, they can just see it right away instead of having to, you know, do this crazy phone tag.
Right. So you met this woman, Ananda Bhatia. She seems to be spearheading this, right? What does she want to do? Create an app or something?
Yeah, she called it the Domino's Pizza Tracker for Flags, basically. And yeah, and so she's the founder of the Modernization Staff Association. And so the idea is basically to come up with a system to, yeah, have it right at your fingertips. And so, yeah, you just like, you know, when you order a pizza, you can see whether it's out for delivery or whether it's still in the oven. They want that to be the case for flags. So, yeah, when someone calls, you can say, oh, yep, here it is. You know, it'll be out in, you know, X number of days, or here's where it is in the process. So, you know, it just kind of saves everyone time and a lot of headaches.
We're speaking with Chris Chaffee, congressional reporter at CQ Roll Call. His story is called Thousands of Flags Fly Over the Capitol, and a couple of legislative staffers want to track them. I didn't realize it was this complicated a process. I guess it's not surprising, given that it's Congress, I guess. What kind of support are they getting, if any, to kind of get a project like this done?
To address the first part, right, yes, Congress can have its own processes, and sometimes they are a little bit confusing. Of course, you know, in any of these cases, whether it's a Senate dining contract or a House dining contract, or even the way staffers are paid, both the Senate and House have separate systems. And so that can kind of cause some troubles, you know, when you're trying to come up with a pizza tracker for flags, because you have to have sort of a two-track approach, right? You initially, they thought, well, let's have one system to rule them all. But of course, the issue was, well, the Senate does things one way and they have their systems, and jeez, the House has their system and they do things their way, right? And so they actually came to the table at these meetings with the CAO and the SAA, that's the House Chief Administrative Officer, and the Senate Sergeant at Arms, just in case you wanted more acronyms. And so basically, they had an app that was built by a group at Code for America, and they said, here, this is what it could look like. You know, how can we make this happen? And so on both sides of the Capitol, they're still in the process. There hasn't been a final app yet, but they're hopeful that, you know, something like this could work to really improve some of these tasks that junior staffers have to deal with.
Thanks, Chris. Chris Chaffee, congressional reporter at CQ Roll Call. High interest debt can put you into a financial hole, and a lot of people are too embarrassed to ask for help. That's where Upstart comes in. Upstart can help you get one fixed monthly payment with a clear payoff date, whether it's for paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses. You can even receive funds in as fast as one business day, from $1,000 to $50,000. And checking your rate at Upstart has to be the easiest process ever invented. The questions are simple, the drop-down boxes are user-friendly, and the application took less than 5 minutes. In addition, all your responses are encrypted and do not affect your credit score, so you have complete security and privacy. Don't wait. Check your rate today at upstart.com/Gordon. That's upstart.com/Gordon to check your rate today. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Again, upstart.com/Gordon.
Blocking out the noise and bringing you the facts. You're listening to America's First News This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well at Gordon Deal. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Democratic Congressman Joaquin Castro of Texas has asked the FBI to investigate the timeline of the Uvalde Elementary School massacre and the police response to it. As controversy grows over how law enforcement officials responded to the scene, Victor Escalon of the Department of Public Safety contradicted earlier police reports, now saying the rifle-toting 18-year-old had not encountered an armed school police officer before he entered the school and began firing.
It was reported that a school district police officer confronted the suspect that was making entry. Not accurate. He walked in unobstructed initially.
While police responded to the school within 4 minutes, authorities waited for an hour to enter the school when a tactical team from the U.S. Border Patrol arrived and went in and killed the suspect.
Number two.
While the chances for a domestic terrorism bill are now all but dashed, a growing number of Senate Republicans appear receptive to conversations about separate gun control policy after 31 people were shot to death in mass shootings in less than a month. A bipartisan group of senators, including Republicans Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania and Susan Collins of Maine, and Democrats Chris Murphy of Connecticut and Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona, met yesterday to kick off informal talks on gun safety legislation.
Number three.
An appeals court has unanimously rejected a bid by former President Trump and two of his adult children to avoid being compelled to answer questions under oath by investigators for New York Attorney General Letitia James as part of her civil investigation of Trump Organization business practices. The state claims the Trump Organization illegally manipulated the stated valuations of different real estate assets for financial gain. Four people were killed and two others were taken to area hospitals when a house exploded in Pottstown, Pennsylvania last night. There may still be two people unaccounted for. Montgomery County officials believe a gas explosion started the fire. Despite record high gas prices, higher hotel rates, and waves of COVID infections, millions will hit the road this holiday weekend. AAA spokesman Andrew Gross.
We are forecasting about 39.2 million people are going to be traveling for this Memorial Day holiday period, which is about 5 days. And about 88% of those folks are going to be going by car.
Travel experts say many people who put off traveling over the past 2 years have more savings to put toward the higher costs.
All right. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. Surfing is no longer a solitary pursuit for Dan Fisher. When he catches a wave along the shores of Rhode Island, he looks down at the surfboard covered with names of people who have died but who shared his love of the ocean.
His father's name is the guiding light at the top. ABC News says the 42-year-old Mr. Fisher created the One Last Wave Project in January to use the healing power of the ocean to help families coping with a loss like he was. He etches their loved one's name onto one of his surfboards and takes them out into the ocean, in spirit anyway, for one last wave as a way to memorialize them in a place that was meaningful to them. Ashley Sexton of Cincinnati contacted Mr. Fisher because of her daughter's love of the ocean. Kinley died in 2019 at age 6 of a brain tumor. Mr. Fisher recently added Kinley's name to a board and plans to take her surfing with him over the holiday weekend. Mr. Fisher's first two boards were full, with 1,500 names on one and 2,000 names on the other. He's onto his third board. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.